Last week, we began our study in Psalm 98 by reminding ourselves that God's gift of salvation is a source of tremendous joy. To know that you are His and He is yours provides a joy unspeakable. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, this morning, as we continue our study, we're going to walk our way through just one verse. Last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2. Today, we're going to look at one verse, one specific verse, and that is verse 3. Now, this third verse is packed with absolute incredible truth. In this passage, the psalmist reminds us of God's loving kindness and faithfulness. Look at that verse again, Psalm 98, verse 3. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, in that phrase, He has remembered His loving kindness and faithfulness to the house of Israel, there's really one word that can summarize that sentence. And that is that our God is dependable. We used to say it like this. There was a song, He's an on-time God. Do you believe that this morning? He is very, very dependable. You can depend on God to always fulfill His promises. In Psalm 103, I want to read several verses for you. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 19. Listen to what the Word of God says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And when the wind has passed over it no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer, but here it is again, that word, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. When you read that psalm and you hear over and over again about the loving kindness of God from eternity to eternity, the sovereign hand of God at work in our lives, it should provide for us this sense of not only comfort, but as the song says, comfort and what? Joy. Joy. Now, last week, as I already mentioned, we found in verse 1 and in verse 2 that God's gift of salvation is a source of great joy. Today, we're going to find in verse 3 that God's promises are a source of great joy. When you think about all that God has promised us, we read this passage and we are reminded that it's the very promises of God that should be, can be, and will be a source of great joy for those who believe. I think about when someone has the death of a loved one. And the Bible promises us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a comforting promise from Almighty God? And isn't it a blessing to know that Jesus has promised us? He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a great promise too, isn't it? When you find yourself in a place of difficulty, and when you find yourself overwhelmed emotionally or distraught mentally, I am telling you, the thing that you and I need to do is go into the Bible and remember the very promises of God, because they within themselves, not only do they provide comfort, but they give us the reason to sing praises and to have joy in our hearts, on our minds, and with our lips. Look with me in this passage of Scripture, and there are three things that I'd like to point out as you think about that God's promises are a source of great joy. Let me tell you why that's so. The reason that is so is, first of all, because God never forgets his promises. Have you ever forgot a promise? Ladies, has your husband ever forgotten a promise? I know I've forgotten promises I've made. I've been well-intended. I thought I was going to take care of that. I meant to do those things, but somehow it seems like life gets in the way and I just forget. I mean, I can get up off the couch from watching a football game and go to the garage because there was something I needed to get, and I get out into the garage and I stop and I come back in and I go, honey, what was I going to get? Have you been there? We all have memory issues at times. But the Bible says in Psalm 98, verse 3, he has remembered. Now, when you read that, it's not like God simply is saying, I have a good memory. It's not the same as saying, oh, I remember, like you've had a memory lapse. It literally indicates that God is actively implementing his covenant loyalty. When the Bible tells us that God has remembered, it is not as if God goes along and suddenly he goes, oh, I told them I was going to do that. I need to do that now. You need to understand that God remembers his promises. And when we say that God remembers his promises, we are saying that God in his sovereignty is actively working the promises that he has made to us in the process of life and in the process of time and in the process of redemptive history. Everything that God has promised is and will come to pass. God remembers his promises. Now, that's very important for a number of reasons, but one of those reasons is for those that seem to struggle with forgiveness. And I don't necessarily mean forgiveness of what someone has done to you. I mean the fact that you are a sinner. And that when you sin, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know the promise of God is that if you will genuinely repent, confess your sin, he forgives you and he casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. But there are some people possibly sitting here or listening to me this morning that when you have committed a sin and after you have confessed it and repented of it and begun to walk towards God in obedience and faithfulness, you continue to overwhelm yourself with guilt and anxiety about the very things that you have done. And God says, I don't even know what you're talking about. Aren't you glad God remembers his promises? One of the reasons that God's promises are a source of great joy is because God keeps, he remembers his promises. But there's a second part of this. If you look at this passage in verse 3, not only has he remembered, what has he remembered? The Bible says he has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. So first, the first reason that you can have God's promises as a source of joy is that God remembers his promises. But secondly, God's promises are founded upon his character. In this passage, when he uses the phrase in verse 3, to the house of Israel, the house of Israel is the name of the covenantal people of God. So the Bible tells us that God remembers his promises, but these promises are founded upon his loving kindness and his faithfulness. Now, there are two key words in the Hebrew text in this passage. One of those is the word loving kindness. Now, this word loving kindness is used over 200 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's an incredibly important word because it is a word that indicates the loving, merciful dependability of God. It is actually a word that expresses an essential part of God's character. This word is often translated as the steadfast love of God or God's constant love. It's the Hebrew word hesed, and it's a word that indicates the covenant love of God. Now, when we speak of a covenant, what is a covenant? Biblically, depending on who you speak with, there are between 5 and 7 covenants in the Bible. A covenant is an important commitment, and the core idea of a covenant is important to understand. Dr. Tom Schreiner actually made this statement: if we don't understand the covenants, we will not and cannot understand the Bible. The covenants are the backbone or framework of the overarching narrative of the Bible. So what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement, a partnership, or a relationship. In the Bible, we have 3 kinds of covenants. We have conditional covenants, we have unconditional covenants, and then some would say that we have general covenants. Now, when we think about these covenants, we think about the Abrahamic covenant. We think about the Mosaic covenant. We think about the Davidic covenant. We think about Noah's covenant. We think about the new covenant that is ours in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you might think about the Adamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30, and Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, this is a general covenant in nature. It has included the command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, pronounced a curse for sin, and spoke of a future provision for man's redemption in Genesis 3:15. The Noahic covenant, this general covenant was made between God and Noah following the departure of Noah, his family, and the animals from the ark. It was found in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. What did God say? I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And this covenant is a sign of God's faithfulness. What is it? You know what it is. It's the I don't care what they've done and who's tried to take it over. The rainbow is a covenant of God's promise that he will not destroy the earth by a flood again. There's the Abrahamic covenant. This is an unconditional covenant made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, promising God's blessings upon Abraham to make his name great, to make his progeny into a great nation. This covenant also promised blessings to those who blessed Abraham and cursings to those who cursed him. God vowed to bless the entire world through Abraham's seed, and circumcision was the sign that Abraham believed the covenant. The fulfillment of this covenant is seen in the history of Abraham's descendants, in the creation of the nation of Israel, and the worldwide blessing that came through Jesus Christ, who came through the lineage of Abraham. There's the Mosaic covenant. It's the conditional covenant found in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Promised the Israelites a blessing for obedience and a curse for disobedience. Much of the Old Testament that you and I study and read chronicles the fulfillment of this cycle of judgment for sin and later blessing when God's people repent and return to God. There's the Davidic covenant, this unconditional covenant found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 16, promised to bless David's family line and assured an everlasting kingdom. Jesus is from the lineage of David, Luke 1, 32 through 33. He is the son of David, Mark 10, verse 47, and is the fulfillment of this covenant. There's the new covenant found in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, that promised that God would forgive sin and have a close, unbroken relationship with his people. This promise was made to Israel and extended to everyone who comes to Jesus Christ in faith in Matthew 26, 28 and Hebrews 9, 15. When God makes a covenant with his people that is unconditional, we know that it is an expression, listen, of the loyal, merciful kindness and steadfast love of our God. You know what the psalmist was saying? When God makes a promise, God doesn't make promises like you and I do. You and I make promises from the old man. The fact is, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised us to new life, but we still struggle with sin at times, do you not? And because of that, when we make promises, we make them in the flesh. Sometimes we fail in those promises. We hope that we fulfill our promises most of the time, but we are still fighting the fight. We are still fighting against the flesh, the sin that is in our life, and the devil. But the fact of the matter is, when God makes a promise, God is holy, God is righteous, God is perfect, and every promise that God ever makes is made from the content of his character, and he is a righteous and a holy and a perfect and a just God. And you can know that every covenant promise that God has made to us, that is an unconditional covenant promise, is made to us out of a character of complete loving kindness. This is our God. You say, Daryl, how do we know that when God promised to give us eternal life in Jesus Christ, that there's not one thing that you and I could do to earn the merit or favor of Almighty God, but it comes by grace through faith in Christ alone. How do we know that God is not going to change his mind? Because he is a God who is perfect and holy and righteous and just, and his loving kindness is from eternity to eternity. God's promises are founded on his character of loving kindness. Isn't that good news? But it's not just the word loving kindness has said. He has remembered, God remembers his promises, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness. Didn't you enjoy singing that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Great is Thy Faithfulness. Bible scholar William Hendrickson rightly observed that divine faithfulness is a wonderful comfort to those who are loyal, but it is a very earnest warning for those who might be inclined to be disloyal. This passage, the word loving kindness and the word faithfulness form together a framework for us to understand that the psalmist is reminding us that the promises of God are intact and they are true and they are always dependable because our God is a faithful, loving Father. When we think about God's faithfulness, it applies to his temporal blessings. It implies to spiritual blessings. It applies to the support that God gives us in temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation that has overtaken you except for that which is common to man. And God is, what does the Bible say? Faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted, but with the temptation, he will provide a way out. Isn't God good to us? He is faithful in his support during persecution, in sanctifying discipline, in direction, in difficulty, in enabling us to persevere, in bringing us to glory. God's faithfulness and his covenant love are closely related all throughout the Bible. Read specifically Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. He is the faithful one. Revelation 19, 1 says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. He is the great high priest, Hebrews 2. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful, and that word loving kindness in Psalm 98, verse 3, is often comes and translated as merciful, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, and to make propitiation for the sins of his people. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 3:1, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. And here's the good news one right here. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. The amen in Revelation, the faithful and true witness. Aren't you glad that one day when you stand before a holy God and the book is opened, the book of life, and your name is found written in the book of life, that you know that standing before you is one who is a faithful witness to declare, this one really is mine and belongs to me. He is a faithful witness. God's promises are founded in the very character of who God is. Every one of us have been let down by someone or something. But I can promise you this, God will always be faithful. I remember when Vicki and I were getting ready to graduate from high school, and one of the awards that they give out was most dependable. And I thought to myself, not many teenagers are consistently dependable. Would you agree with that? But as I've gotten older, I realized something significant. As much as I desire and long to be faithful consistently and constantly to my Lord, there are those times in my life where I realize I am not as dependable as I should be. It's not just when you're a teenager, it's when you're a human being. But God, he is always faithful. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, made this statement. Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Here's a statement for you. He who abandons himself to God will never be abandoned by God. He who abandons himself to God will never be abandoned by God. The psalmist says it like this: He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to what? To the house of Israel. Martin Lloyd-Jones said about faith, faith is holding on to the faithfulness of God, and as long as you do that, you cannot go wrong. Faith does not look at the difficulties. Faith does not look at itself or the person who is exercising it. Faith looks at God. That's what Psalm 32, verse 4 says. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Psalm 33, verse 4, for the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. Psalm 36, verse 5, your loving kindness, that Hebrew word hesed, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalm 89, verses 1 through 2, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever to all generations. I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth, for I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. And we all know Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 20 through 23. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Say it with me. Great is your faithfulness. God's promises are a source of joy because God remembers those promises, and God's promises are founded in the very character of who he is, in his loving kindness and in his faithfulness. But look in verse 3, he goes on. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Do you know what God does? This God who is dependable, this God who is filled with loving kindness, this God who is ever faithful, the Bible says God keeps his promises. When we think about this Christmas season, it is in the genealogy of Jesus recorded in Matthew that we discover the fulfillment of many Old Testament promises and prophecies. He was from the line of Abraham, Genesis 12. Isaac, Genesis 26. Jacob, Genesis 28. Judah in Genesis 49. Jesse in Isaiah 11:1. David in Isaiah 9, verse 7. But that isn't all. When you come across people that think, oh, how can any of this be true? Remind them that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, Matthew 21 from Zechariah 9. He would be betrayed by a friend in John 13, 18, as is said in Psalm 41, 9. The betrayal would be for 30 pieces of silver, Matthew 26, as we're told in Zechariah 11, 12. The money would be used to purchase the potter's field in Matthew 27, as is in Zechariah 11. The Messiah would die a sacrificial death for us in Matthew 27, 50, 2 Corinthians 5, as we read in Daniel 9, 26 and Isaiah 53, verse 8. He would die with criminals, but his burial would be with the wealthy in Matthew 27, Luke 23, from Isaiah 53, verse 9. He would rise from the dead, Matthew 28, verse 6, as we read in Psalm 16 and Isaiah 53. He would say certain words on the cross. He would be mocked and people would gamble for his clothes, Psalm 21. Listen, I'm telling you, all over the Bible, God made promises concerning the Messiah, his son, Jesus Christ, and God has kept those promises, and Jesus is the final amen. God keeps his promises. Do you believe this? God is trustworthy. because of his character. God will do what he says that he will do. His conduct always matches his character. When you read this passage of Scripture, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What does that mean? The Bible tells us that God has made himself known in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has been revealed through the Word of God and the witness of God's people. And the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a promise of God. Do you believe God keeps this promise? He does. I was reading my devotional this morning, and I was reading Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and this struck me so much, I wanted to share this with you. Spurgeon writes, "May our God bring home to you a sense of your safety in Christ Jesus. May he assure you that your name is graven on his hand and whisper in your ear the promise, 'Fear not, I am with thee.' Look upon him, the great surety of the covenant, as faithful and true, and therefore bound and engaged to present you, the weakest of the family, with all the chosen race before the throne of God. And in such a sweet contemplation, you will drink the juice of the spice wine of the Lord's pomegranate and taste the dainty fruits of paradise. You will have an antepast of the enjoyments which ravish the souls of the perfect saints. If you can believe with unstaggering faith that faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it." God keeps his promises. I realized this morning that in this world where things seem to be so crazy, where it seems like you can't believe a politician and sometimes you can't hardly believe a preacher, amen? I can say that because I are one. And some of the foolishness that I hear and the things that I see, I ask myself, why do anyone believe when we act so silly sometimes? But there is one that you can always trust. One that you can know beyond any shadow of the doubt, everything that he has said to you will come to pass. Because God keeps his promises. I love John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise from God. And in these days, we need to hold fast to his promises. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, don't get so overwhelmed with the things of this world about Christmas that you miss the reality that the babe in the manger was a fulfillment of the promises of God. It was God's loving kindness and faithfulness coming to fruition in the promise of a Messiah who would be one who paid the penalty for our sin and rose from the dead that we may have life. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you stand this morning? We rejoice because God's gift of salvation is a source of great joy. We rejoice because God keeps his promises, and his promises are a source of great joy. Next week, we're going to learn what the Bible says about simply rejoicing. And on Christmas Day, we're going to learn to rejoice in God's righteousness. But maybe this morning, maybe you're here this morning or listening online and you say, Daryl, I needed to be reminded that God hasn't forgotten me, that He hasn't forsaken me, and that He does love me, and that God cares about everything happening in my life. In a moment, we're going to sing this great song that reminds us. And I want you to sing it to the Lord as an expression of worship because He is faithful and worthy of worship. But I also want you to willingly respond to the Holy Spirit. And if there's someone here this morning that would say, I just need to pray with a pastor. Maybe someone that comes and says, I need someone to pray with me because I have been wondering if God really loves me. Maybe you need to come and join this fellowship, or maybe you're someone who says, Daryl, I'd like to talk with someone about what it means to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Would you come? Father, I pray that in this moment that the power of Your Spirit will move. I pray, God, that we will never get away from the reality that Your promises give us great joy. God, thank You for being so loving, so merciful, so kind, so compassionate. Thank You, God, for being faithful when I am unfaithful. Thank You for being so good to me. We praise You, O God, and give You glory. And all God's people said, Amen.